Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovic, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Glad you're with us today.
My husband and I have been married for a year.
Is there a Christian or biblical therapy for OCD?
At that time, I'd just gotten out of jail for domestic violence. I smacked her pretty hard this last time. And
so what are you going to do?
One of the largest struggles that we face in relationships is allowing you to be different than me.
I'll say it this way. It is devastating in a redemptive way.
What that does is it makes you an adult responsible for the choice that you're making.
I am such a jerk and do so many crummy things.
We can
and
vouch
make so
for
many,
that.
And they can vouch for it. You know, somebody show me something that makes more sense than we can't make it. Jesus did it for us.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me in the studio in Laguna Beach, California, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hey, Jill.
Hey, Steve.
And Mylon Yurkovic. Hello, Mylon.
Hi, Steve. And I don't think you're such a jerk. I mean, did you hear that little intro thing? You go, I'm such a jerk.
Yeah. Well, God. You know, I was trying to make a... I think I was quoting someone or something. I don't know what it was. But anyway, I'm broadcasting from the Broadcast Center at Anderson University at WQME, our home away from home here, and really thankful for them for letting me use their studio. But as we go along with the program, hopefully you won't even know it that I'm in a different studio. Now, I just got to start off by reminding the women that we have a special weekend this weekend in San Jose. I was just talking to someone that's driving up from Southern California. She's going to be there. But this is the Women in the Battle, and this is for women who are married to or dating or have dated and have been married to someone with a sexual integrity or a sexual addiction problem. We projected a certain amount of women to come, more than projected have signed up, but there's still some room. We've made additional room for you. So if you want to go, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com, and you can go with Women in the Battle. Jill, why
yes.
do you think this is so important?
Oh, I think it's so important because I think the women are the ones behind the scenes that are suffering as a result of someone they're in relationship to. And, you know, we women, we look at things through our relationships. That's where we are mainly focused. And
yeah.
so when someone is struggling that we are close to, it hurts us very deeply. And
right.
to have this kind of betrayal, often to the very depths of a woman's core, it really touches there. And so for women to come together and to hear what other women have gone through, I think it's just going to be life-changing.
Well, I do too, and I hope that you'll come. Also, we've got another thing that's going, is the Everyman's Battle 2.0. And this is the next stage, the next phase to go to after you've been to Everyman's Battle 1.0. It's really important. In fact, after a few minutes, we'll talk with Jason Martinkus about the Everyman's Battle workshop that we're doing. But this is for alumni. And so if you would like your husband or boyfriend to do some kind of refresher work, hey, have them call or you call about EMB 2.0. In fact, I think we've got Jason on the line now, don't we, Jason? Are you there?
Hi, Steve.
Hey, Jason, a lot of people look at this Everyman's Battle issue. And they think, well, they probably just go over the book there. That isn't true, is it?
For the Everyman's Battle workshop?
Yeah.
Not even close. No, about the only thing they have in common is the name.
Well, they both believe in sexual integrity.
And right. yeah. And the
yeah.
theme.
And the theme. Yeah. But how is it different? What would you say is one of the differences?
Oh, man, the workshop's going to be so much more in-depth, talking through the reality of this issue, what it's about, the insights to understand why we do it, as well as the tools to stop.
Yeah. Well, it really does give people the tools. And when we come back, maybe you could just give us a couple of minutes on why you think that the workshop is so effective. Because it is. We hear women all over saying, hey, it's different now with this man who went to that workshop.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. 1-800-229-3000.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and on the line, Jason Martinka, excuse me. Now, Jason, why do you think that this workshop, Every Man's Battle, is, I mean, it's still going. We've been doing it for years and still filling it up, and it's effective. Why is it so effective?
Boy, great question. There are so many ways to answer that. You know, a couple of things just off the cuff. One is that it's put on by people who don't just have the kind of the talk. They also walk the walk. You know, the people that staff these workshops are all guys who have been through this struggle and have come to a place in their life where they're walking in integrity. I think that that's a huge proponent of it. I also think that for guys that attend, you know, there's a difference between being ready and being willing. It seems like guys who come that are ready want to be a passive participant in the thing. And those guys don't seem to change so much. But guys who come who are willing, who want to be an active participant in their recovery, we give them the tools and the understanding to go and actively participate in what God is doing to change them. One thing that I see consistently at the workshop is guys will come in, they'll come in hopeless, they'll come in reluctant, skeptical. You know, usually this isn't their first go-around. And what they find when they leave is that they're hopeful. They actually believe that this issue is not insurmountable. They can actually get hope and healing. And these guys leave with something that most men walking around don't seem to have, and that's a community of people to support them in their progress.
That's right. And we hear of people staying in that community for literally 10 years and it being a part of their life. Well, thank you, Jason. Anybody interested in Every Man's Battle, you've never been before, or someone you love has never been before, you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We would love to help you there. And then also the 2.0 for the alumni. It's really going to be an amazing time.
Steve, could I make a comment there?
Oh, please do.
Well, when people come to Christ, the first time in their life, they're taught that sexuality needs to be addressed and controlled. The world does not teach anything about controlling our sexuality. It promotes the lack of controlling our sexuality.
Right.
So for the first time in a person's life, because they may not have grown up in a home where sexuality was viewed as a holy thing, It's something that Satan has taken and drug into the mud of this world at every possible distortion there is. All of a sudden, we come to Christ, and he says, men, it's not good for you to touch a woman, and number two, it's important you control your eyes and your mind. And you go, what are you talking about? You know, what on earth are you talking about? And so EMB is a place, maybe for the first time, a male can go and hear what God's desires are for the way that we're supposed to love and worship God. Secondly, that we are supposed to view women not as objects, but as people. And this whole reorientation, a whole new paradigm, this may be the first time men have ever addressed it, because frankly, the church doesn't address this very well either.
No, and this is a place where you can get it firsthand. Dennis from Tampa, Florida, XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Dennis.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing well. What's going on with you today?
Well, 4 years ago, I committed adultery against my wife. And a year ago, I confessed it to her, and she signed me up for Every Man's Battle. I went. Fantastic weekend. There helped me immensely. And yeah, I heard you talking to Jason there a little bit ago as far as what's the difference between the book and the seminar. The big thing in the seminar is that you get to sit down and talk with other men who are going through the same struggles or even more severe, and share one another's stories, pray for one another, and get insights into where we can go next to break the bonds.
Are you getting an emotional there, Dennis?
Yes, I am.
It was very powerful for you.
Well,
I'm sorry, Megan.
Well, it must have been very powerful for you. And what are things like with your wife? How's she holding up?
Well, at first, of course, she was devastated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got back from Every Man's Battle, I tried to share with her how, you know, much of a blessing it was to me. Apparently, I didn't communicate very well.
Mm.
But at any rate, she had already signed us up for Every Marriage Restored weekend, and we went to that. And, of course, the Every Man's Battle is a prerequisite to that. And then after that, we've made very slow progress, and she used the analogy that we would constantly, because I'm an over-the-road truck driver, so I get home every 7 days out, I get 2 days home. And so the 2 days home, we try and hash things out face-to-face, and we talk every day on the telephone. But she was thinking that we were always taking one step forward and then two back. She didn't, and I agree, it seemed that way for a while. But then finally the Lord encouraged me to share with her that, you know, we're really not that bad. I mean, we're probably doing two steps forward and one back, but the one back seems so difficult for her that it seems like we're actually regressing instead of progressing.
Yeah, well, it's pretty big shock, and it takes a long time. That's why we do this Women's in the Battle thing for women like her. And you guys don't give up. Just be patient. And thank you for giving us that report there, all right?
Okay, well, my question was, what do I do next to help her? And would it be appropriate for me to sign her up for the Women in the Battle like she did for me, Men's in the Battle?
Well, I think it'd be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's, we've just found that the greatest potential to get someone to go to something is you call, you sign them up, you get the airplane ticket or the bus fare or whatever, the cab, and you ask them to go and tell them what you've done, and it's the best chance that they're going to just go ahead and follow through with it. So I hope you will do that.
Yeah, and I think you are describing, Dennis, perfectly what does happen. See, you finally came to a point where you had to get help. And so now, your wife was probably the strong one through all of this. And now that you've gotten help, now she's struggling. And this is what we see so often. And it's going to take her a while to kind of get on the same page with you.
Right.
But I think it's a surprise to women.
Yeah.
Because they've had to be so strong. It's a surprise that they really struggle this much after they've gotten what they thought they wanted, and that is help for their husband.
Yeah.
So we need to help them. So absolutely sign her up.
And Dennis comes back all excited and feeling liberated.
And she's not embracing that.
She's not out of the shock of it all yet.
Right.
And she's not convinced. Trust isn't developed yet. And so it's this different progression for the female.
On the same timeline.
Nope.
Well, it's this weekend, Women in the Battle. So call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com, and it really could help your situation, especially if you're in a situation like Dennis and his wife.
And we can't say enough good about Sherry Denham.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's doing the thing, and she's very good, and she's worked so hard on this. It's going to be amazing. Now, if you want more information on Every Man's Battle, you can go to everymansbattle.com, or you can just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Also, a side note, many of us have seen the previews for the show Playboy Club. Well, the ratings were a failure. The public rejected it. Isn't that great? That's a good thing. I mean, it just, I didn't see it. I did see a preview or two. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a good day for real bunnies, that's for sure, if that thing goes up the air. All right, let's go to, how about we go over here and go to Bill from Secretary, Maryland, WOLC is the station. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you?
Doing great. How about you?
I'm doing good. I want to thank you all for what you all do. It's great, I think, anyways.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, I do. It's absolutely
Well, we wonderful. Value your opinion, Bill. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. You all, on a show that I heard this week, said something, one of you said something about there was that you could be cured once you stop from an alcoholism.
Well, I, one of the guys...
You were not an alcoholic once you had stopped.
That was an opinion expressed by one of the people on the show. It is not the opinion of New Life, the organization. We believe, as an organization, that it's not a matter of getting over alcoholism. It is a matter of getting well, getting into recovery, rebuilding your life, and that's a lifelong process. We also believe in a biological predisposition, that once a person becomes addicted to alcohol, you will always be addicted to alcohol, and you know maybe there is some weird exception to that rule somewhere, but who wants to gamble on a 1% chance that maybe you could control it? And control drinking is never our goal anyway. It is total transformation and recovery. Does that help?
Yes. I agree with you. I would say we'd be lucky if it was 1%.
Yeah, half of a half percent, maybe.
I am an alcoholic, okay?
Yeah.
In recovery for a little over 14 years. And been struggling with this most of my life. Alcoholism. And I know what it is. And the statement that was made was almost jumped out of the vehicle.
Yeah,
you know, trying to get to you all, but which is almost impossible to do it on the same day.
Right.
But because there is no, it's not cured. Can you arrest it? Absolutely, with God's help. You know, it's God just programming you people, is what I say in meetings all the time. And
well,
it is those three things that keep me personally arrested from alcoholism.
And as you know, when a person stops drinking and 2 years later they start, it's as if this thing was progressing those 2 years. And they, many times, I would say most of the time, end up in worse shape quicker than they were when they stopped drinking 2 years prior, because it progresses so fast. Yeah.
You know, it's outside the door doing push-ups, just waiting for you.
It really is.
Now it's either we use in this area anyway.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And let me just chime in. I think that, Bill, that... 12-step programs very specifically and carefully have not said that you can be cured, because I think that alcoholics, addicts have this tendency towards black and white thinking. And so, you know, when you are in an all or nothing state, you can't just do something a little bit. And it's so much more than the substance that you are ingesting. It's
yes,
so,
it is. You
right?
know, alcohol is a symptom of my disease.
Right, right.
Obsessive compulsive behavior.
Right.
Is what my problem is, you know.
Yeah.
My problem is self-will run riot. That's
mm-hmm.
what my problem is. And it says
right.
it in the book, you know. And it's a matter of Alcoholics Anonymous is error organization, and I'm saying ours because I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And there's a big difference between going to meet once in a while and being a member.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But their mission, you know, is to help another alcoholic.
Sure.
Keep sobriety.
Right.
You know, there's a big difference between not taking the drink and having sobriety.
Well, exactly.
Right. It's a lifestyle.
Most people who go to meetings don't have any sobriety.
Well, hopefully,
it's about being happy, joyous, and free, and that's what this organization—that's what those three things. God just programming you people.
Well, hopefully, Bill, if you listen to the program enough, you know that that's what we have taught around here, talked about, and that's what we believe in. Dave Stoop and I did the Life Recovery Bible, and I think if you look at that, you'll find it very true to biblical truth and very true to 12-step philosophy, or the philosophy of Alcoholics Anonymous. We worked with recovering Bible scholars to put that together. But the first thing I ever did was work in a psych hospital back in 1977 that was turned into an alcohol and drug treatment center. And I tell you, there are just certain things that you don't mess with, and that disease concept is one of them.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Jurgovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And after this program, we're going to be recording a special Focus Friday program on the topic of homosexuality. If you've got some questions or comments about that, you could call us in about 35 minutes. We'll be doing that program. And then after that, we'll do another program today. So 1-800-229-3000, that is the number. All right, let's go to Lorraine from Charleston, West Virginia. WOAY is the station. Hello, Lorraine.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
I've been divorced for 3 years, and I was married 22 of those years. And I'm working through the process of healing. It was a bad marriage and two children. And my daughter says now that I need to forgive my ex-husband, and I'm struggling with the process of, I'm stuck. Have I forgiven him? Because I'm still angry at things. I'm still angry at myself. I'm angry at him. I'm angry at the loss of those years. And I'm thinking, I don't know if I've forgiven him or not. I'm confused because I'm still mad at the whole process.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I haven't forgiven him because I'm still angry. I mean, I'm a Christian, and I understand forgiveness, and I know what it is to forgive, and I know what it is to be forgiven. But amongst all that confusion and all of that turmoil for all of those years, there's obviously going to be anger.
Yeah.
Anger at hurt, anger at loss, anger at the whole thing. So I don't know I know I'm making progress. I'm in CODA. I'm codependent, and I'm in CODA, and I have gone to therapy for 15 years. I had severe postpartum depression, and so I was in therapy for a long time after that.
Okay.
And so...
So, Lorraine, you understand that things are a process, don't you?
Yes.
And that they're not so simple as to say, okay, I'm just going to forgive and then be done with it. And in a situation where you've had 22 years of marriage, two kids, and now a divorce, there are probably many things to forgive.
Oh, thousands.
Right, right.
So, and, you know, betrayal of my children. My son, he opted to stay with his father, who was abusive. And that tormented me. It broke my heart because I was, all those years, I protected them. And, you know, and in the process, I lost my home. I lost it all. And I thought, you know,
It's bigger than just forgiving your husband. You're angry and hurt. And there's a lot of loss that you're still grieving.
And so I said, you know, I don't want to be around him because he hurt me. He hurt my children.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can forgive, but it's like, you know, a victim of a rape doesn't want to be around the rapist. You know, they hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
They hurt you with everything they can.
Lorraine, just listening to you, Jill mentioned a word that I think is really important for you, and it's the word grieving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people that have a hard time forgiving, it's helpful for them to stop trying to forgive.
And yeah, it's like, you know, I went to a Christian, and I hate to say Christian counseling, because some Christian counselors just throw their dogma in on you, and that's, you know, what happened. And I was in there, and it was like, oh, you need to forgive. Right off the bat, I'm thinking, I need an intensive care unit here. I don't need, some people need emotional intensive care sometimes.
Well, let me give you another word to focus on versus forgiveness.
Okay.
And that's the word acceptance.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to grieve the loss so we can come to a place of, all right, I can't change that. This is my reality. Beating myself up, beating the other self up, no help whatsoever. I have to work on accepting the reality of my life so that I can move on. And many times when we find acceptance, then it's easier for us to forgive. But if we're still berating the past and the person and wishing it was better and had never happened, we're in a place of rejecting the reality that we're in. It's very hard to forgive in that state. Mylan, you have some thoughts on this?
I had some more thoughts, okay. Steve. So you're talking, Steve, about not focusing on kind of keeping that pain alive, but really focusing on working through that. And you know, Lorraine, it's going to take as long as it takes for you. But one thing in relation to your daughter, I might ask, is that, you know, perhaps your daughter is wanting you to forgive because she's needing something or she's struggling in a way. And I might have a conversation with her and try to draw her out on, you know, how she's being affected by what she perceives as your lack of forgiveness. And try to address some of her needs, and that the two of you have your own grieving to do, and your timeline and your process is very different. She has different things to grieve than you have to grieve, and that it's okay for her to be in a different spot than you are in, and that, you know, to invite her to talk about how it upsets her when she sees you struggling. To just have very real dialogue about that, because divorce is brokenness. It can't be made all better. There is brokenness, and we have to live with the tension of some ongoing brokenness.
All right. Lorraine, have you read Healing is a Choice?
No, I haven't.
Well, let me send it to you. I hope it will help you. And I hope something we've said is helpful. I'd hate to continue to see you beat your head up against that horrible wall of resentment and bitterness. Maybe acceptance will help you move into forgiveness.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Let's go right over and talk with Jared from Denton, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hi there.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Really well. Thank you. What's going on in your life?
Well, sister who's 25, she's been dating this guy for 3.5 years, which isn't crazy long, I realize, but she's known him for 6 years. They're both college graduates, and they had a kind of chaotic friendship, and she was sort of pining for him the whole time, but was always interested, but it never really worked out. Basically, until they started dating.
Mm-hmm.
He is an extreme people pleaser and has a really heavy attachment to his parents. He pretty much does whatever they say, and because of that, he really doesn't have the ability, from what I can see, to put my sister first. And, you know, he's always overly concerned if he's pleasing them, if he's pleasing all of his friends, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they've been talking pretty seriously about getting married for like 2 years now, but engagement still hasn't happened. And like a year and a half ago, he graduated. They both went to college at the same place. And he chose to move back home for a job and now lives with his parents. So they're doing the long-distance thing and still talking about getting married, but there's no movement forward. And still just shows a really kind of poor desire to want to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, I think if it was me, I don't think I would have moved away from my girlfriend if I was thinking about marrying her. But that's what happened. So he'll mess up like that, and she'll get mad about it, and he'll kind of say all the right things and come back to her to satisfy her, but then nothing ever really changes.
Okay, so what's the question for us?
I just want to know how I can help her, or if I should help her, encourage her to end the relationship. I've heard phone calls before with people that have been in this type of relationship for like 10-plus years, and you guys, I think Dave was the one that unequivocally for sure said that they needed to get out of the relationship, that it wasn't going to go anywhere if marriage didn't happen after 2 years. So I just wondered what you guys thought about all of that.
Okay. Mylon, you have a comment on this? You've been so quiet this whole program.
Well, you guys have provided phenomenal answers, especially to Lorraine and so on. You know, Jared, I would simply do what you did with us. I would just share your concerns. I think you shared them well. I have people in my office, Jared, who haven't left mom or dad yet, and they've been married 10 years, 15 years, 18 years, 30 years, 40. And because they haven't left mom and dad, they cannot be a fully present partner to their spouse. And you're right, he will have his interests divided. You know, the Bible talks about having your interests divided with respect to the world, money, and God, and you can't serve God and mammon. You know, God says it's hard to have your feet in two worlds. And if we haven't left and cleft, you know, we haven't left our home and really left emotionally, we can't really fully cleave or glue or weld ourselves to a spouse. You're absolutely right in your hypothesis here. So I would explain that to your sister and really encourage them to get into some premarital counseling before they make any final decisions. All you can do is share your concerns. She's going to do what she's going to do. She's a grown lady, right. And so she's 25. But I think your concern is very valid, and I think mm-hmm. that it's important to show differentiation from our families of origin, and that should be one of the qualifications for picking a healthy partner. How separated are they from their parents? Because if they aren't, you're marrying those parents too.
Right, and you might even ask her if nothing changes for him, if he stays exactly the way he is right
that's
now.
That's good. That's really good.
Would she be happy for the rest of her life?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Would this be her choice?
I don't see that changing. Like, he realizes that her relationship, his family kind of sees her as a cheater, because there's another big deal that, you know, they're doing the long distance thing, and she kind of had a love interest with another guy during that time, and it seemed to us like he was just a really great guy and was basically worshiping the ground she walked on, whereas her boyfriend didn't. And after that all kind of came to the surface, she felt really guilty about it, and it came out that her boyfriend sort of took some of the blame for it, because after all, he was the one that moved away.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he made her feel really guilty about it, and now his whole family sort of blames her for it, and they see her as a cheater now. But instead of defending her to his family and saying, hey, this is my woman, he instead goes to her and says, hey, you need to fix your relationship with my family.
Yeah.
And like, he's asked her to write a letter to his sister.
We get the picture.
So Jill's point is very well taken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If nothing changes, is this what she wants for the rest of your life? Because guess what? It's not going to change.
Yeah,
right.
That family,
it'll get worse.
It will get worse. Mm-hmm. That family is stuck in a system, and it's incestuous. It's sick. It's not a
Does
healthy system.
Does she want to move in with his mom and dad?
Yeah, is that what she wants?
Because that's what she's looking at.
And, you know, it's always better to express your concerns before somebody gets married rather than after they get a divorce say, I knew it.
Right.
You know, I knew that was going to happen.
Thanks a lot, right?
No, really, you take a risk because there's a good chance they're going to go through with it anyway. But you really do. If you see some things, and then maybe you're part of four or five people saying a little bit here or there that might make an impression. Kay from Baltimore, Maryland, WAVA is the station. Hi, Kay.
Hello.
Speak right up there.
Oh,
hi.
Sorry about that. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi,
How
Kay.
Could we help?
Oh, excuse me. Okay, I was married for 20 years to a man that had a sexual addiction, and he left me about 8 years ago. And for the past five of those years, the Lord has dealt with me, and I've dealt with the situation. And now that we are to the eighth year, my ex-husband has contacted me about 3 years ago. And we are reconciling, and we are planning on getting married. There are no plans for a date or anything like that. I have absolutely no anticipation of when.
Yeah, okay.
My question to you, I was not aware of the Women in the Battle and just heard about it this afternoon. And then I heard you say something about you might not be aware of the effect that this sexual addiction has had on you until it's been a length of time. So my question to you is, what should I be looking for? Should I be, I'm not sure, this is all new to me. I'm like, well, maybe I should be, something's going to happen as I get closer to the date where I'm going to marry him. And I'm just trying to ask you the question of what should I be prepared for?
Okay. Well, you know, Kay, if you're going to remarry this man, you want to be sure you do it with both eyes open and all the cards on the table. And if there's hiding of any area of his life, I would consider that to be a huge red flag. In other words, if he isn't totally open with you about finances, for instance, or every moment of his time, or the passwords on his computer and cell phone, there needs to be total disclosure. And if there's any resistance at that, I would see that as a big red flag.
Absolutely.
The other thing is consistency. You want to see consistency in this person, and for him to realize that it would be normal for you to be suspicious, and him try to understand that feeling would also be important. That if he is distant from you and disconnecting from time to time, there's another huge red flag. Mylan, Jill, what are you thinking about what she should look for?
I'm wondering what has changed for your husband other than time.
Oh,
time apart.
Yeah, the Lord took him to crash and burn. And as far as it's been a while since I've read the book, but I think that sexual addiction comes in, I want to say, like four levels. And he was at the third level. So he is quite involved, and there are a lot of details, and they're ugly, mm-hmm. very ugly. And so what has changed is he went through there's a online Christian sexual addiction, something that you walk. Anyway, he went through this whole process, and it is similar to a 12-step. And every day he would email me, and he would talk to me on the phone and tell me what's going on in his life. And so I can see a change, but I am also in great prayer over this, and I have absolutely given it to the Lord, and the Lord will give us the date when when he is ready.
Well, you know what, Kay? I think you also have to use your head. You have to be wise. The Bible talks a lot about wisdom. Now, I would want to make sure that you went to a good mm-hmm. couples therapist who helped you analyze what's happened over the last 28 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what happened in the two decades prior to that before you got married. And do you guys know how to have communication, talk? Do you know how to really share intimacy? And I would want to make sure that we had really built something that was almost brand new to us.
Yeah.
Good.
Because when you're separated and somebody's sending you emails, it's like you're far away and they can idolize you
again.
And love you. It's courting. But it's not mm-hmm. really reality, you see.
It's not day in, day out.
Day out. That's right. So I'd get into some solid couples counseling.
All right. Hope that's helpful to you. I'll send Walking Into Walls your way. We'll be back.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares
is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, and as I mentioned earlier, we're going to record a program on homosexuality after this one. You can join us there. But our final caller in this hour is Dennis from Myrtle Beach, California. He watches us on FamilyNet. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Myrtle Beach, Hello? South Carolina.
I'm sorry. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Hello?
Hi. Are you there, Dennis?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, speak right up, buddy.
Okay, well, I have to confess, this is probably my second time calling, and I've just been kind of wrestling back and forth with what you said last week. What I was talking about, though, was that a long time ago, I think I started getting into like a depression again or whatever.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been telling me that, and I've been seeing a lot of the signs in my life, like I really do have this thing that's called depression. I didn't really believe it for a while.
Yeah.
But, anyways, I feel like I'm starting to feel okay, like I'm starting to come out of it. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not, but...
You're better. You feel better.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more sane, like I can... I'm like more normal now, more practical, but I still feel like things are a wreck, and I still feel away from life, and like I'm just drifting around, and I still feel like down a lot in times, and I'm not sure if that's... And where it's coming from or not. Sometimes I know, sometimes I don't.
Okay. But, so what's the question for us, Dennis?
Well, I guess I was just wondering, like what do you think I should do? Or, like, should I, like, a lot of people said I should go get counsel and all about stuff like this, and,
Well, let's see what Mylon and Jill think.
Dennis, sometimes when we are struggling with depression, you know, it really limits our view of things and kind of gives us a skewed view of things. And it sounds like you're mulling a lot of things over in your mind, which often when we're depressed, we can't quite decide about things either. It's always good with depression to do something proactive. And so one thing, going and meeting with a counselor can be a very effective way of getting through your depression, because it gives you that time and space to kind of bounce things off and to have someone kind of helping you so that you can then know your own thoughts better and to get to the bottom of why this depression keeps getting triggered. There could be a lot of reasons for it. And so instead of just bouncing out there kind of by yourself and maybe talking to this person and that person, to have one person that can kind of walk with you through that is a helpful intervention.
Go ahead, Mylon.
Well, what's encouraging to me, Dennis, is that you have people reflecting back to you
honesty,
mm-hmm. You see. And they're telling you they see something in you, and they see you in a state that they are alarmed about, and they want you to do something about it, and they're all using a common word, depression. And I just got an email, you guys, yesterday from a person who I had been trying to talk into getting on an antidepressant for quite a few years, and they finally did, and, mm-hmm. and this person said, man, what a difference in how I feel.
They didn't even know they were so off,
She says,
they?
I didn't know how off I was mm-hmm. until now. I feel great. And she said, my life is really different. Now, when you're depressed all the time, Dennis, what happens is that your brain does not have some of the substances, some of the substances God created, that Jill's calling a neurotransmitter, that God created to be in your brain. And when we're depressed, they become depleted. So we can't get excited about people, God, life, goals, dreams, education, work. Mm-hmm. We just are all very slow to start right there. If you elevate, let's just say, the serotonin in your brain a little bit, it can give you a running start, and it's back where God wanted it to be. So it's trying to emulate how God made your brain to really react. And then you also have to look for situational reasons. Why are you depressed? I mean, are there situational reasons? Somebody stopped loving you. You had losses. These all have to be
some
processed.
Some kind of precipitating event
some,
that
some
has happened.
Some sort of precipitating event. Or mm-hmm. even just the feeling, you sound like a young guy, just even the idea of turning into an adult and having to face adult responsibilities. I know a lot of young men and women who get very depressed right there because
right.
they're out of school, they don't know what to do with themselves, and they go, my gosh, what am I? I'm an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Rut-row. You
right.
know,
am I capable? Can I do it?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Jill's point is really important. That you sit down with somebody and let them, who's really professional, help you sort all that out.
Well, and so seeing a counselor, Mylan, you mentioned possibility of an antidepressant, mm-hmm. Making sure you're moving in some way, some form of exercise, because that helps the brain, right? Looking at your diet, looking at kind of all these areas of your life, and continuing, though, with also your supportive friends and making sure you're plugged in.
Take it seriously, though, Dennis. Do not just take it lightly. And you might feel a little bit better, but, you know, depression can be a bit cyclical in the sense
right.
that you can elevate a little bit, but that elevation is still subpar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you're better, then you should be integrating more and more into life and with folks, and then that gives you some confidence to take a medication or see a counselor. But I would hate to see you continue to deal with this on your own. It really, everything could be different. I hope you really listen to Mylan's story there about someone who just didn't know how bad it mm-hmm. was. It can be really serious. Well, I want Mylan to share some scripture with us as we close out the program, but a couple of things. Keep in mind that this weekend in San Jose, California, is going to be the Women in the Battle workshop for women who have been affected by sexual integrity problems on the part of a man. And then we have Every Man's Battle 2.0 for our alumni. We've got the regular Every Man's Battle program coming up. This Friday, we're going to do a Focus Friday program on blended families. And to do all of this, we need your help. And especially if you could join Club New Life. It's giving a little bit, but combined with all the others that give a little, it's a lot. And it really helps us. And we'll send you a Life Recovery Bible when you join. And there are resources every other month that we'll send to you, and a monthly CD that you just download or plug in, whichever one you want. It's got ministry updates, some interesting calls from the program, a teaching from somebody on the team. We have events. There's an online community. It's a great thing to be part of the Club New Life family. But we need your help. September's always slow in getting started, and if there's a one-time gift or a membership, call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If God is leading you, please respond to that. Mylan, share some scripture with us here as we close out the program.
When we're depressed, we typically isolate, and isolation is not God's plan for our lives, whether we're depressed or not depressed. And so the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. So the Bible says to encourage one another. The Bible says to comfort one another. Those are all verses found in the New Testament, plus many others of the one another's. Now, I have to tell somebody how I feel in order to be comforted. I have to tell them where I'm discouraged in order to be encouraged. I have to tell them where the burdens are in order to have them load share with me. What's shareable is bearable, and that's what God intended the body of Christ to be.
Yeah. What's shareable is bearable.
That's right.
And what isn't is terrible.
Yes,
nice.
Yes, like that, Steve.
You don't have to live that way.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we really do want something better for you. And, you know, if you've never, ever considered placing your whole life in the hands of Jesus Christ, there's something that you could consider. You can call us right now, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll help you with that decision. Until next time, thank you, Mylan, Jill, all of you. God bless you. Have a great day today. And give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We'd love to be there for you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.